Hello, happy Monday, and welcome back to another episode of Farewell, episode 20. Hard to believe, we're barely into March and already 20 episodes of the new version of the Growth Equation podcast. I'm your host, Clay Skipper, and today we're going to be talking about habits. Not to overstate it, but it's primarily our habits that determine how our days unfold. Life can get complicated and hard, and that means that most days, or a lot of days, we usually default to our automatic behaviors. And automatic behavior is just another word for habit. Really, it's our automatic behaviors, our habits, the things we repeat over time that end up having an outsized influence on our life. In a lot of ways, this is the fundamental argument of the book, Atomic Habits by James Clear. Maybe you've heard of this book. It has become not just one of the seminal books about habits, if not the seminal book about habits. I think it's sold more than 15 million copies at this point, but also about behavior change and self-improvement more generally. And in that book, James Clear gives a really great metaphor to illustrate how habits compound over time. So he says to imagine a plane about to take off in LA and fly to New York. If the pilot alters that heading by only 3.5 degrees, not very much at all, well, in the first few miles, it's not going to make much of a difference. It'll be mostly where it's supposed to be. But by the time it flies the 5-6 hours, 2,800 miles all the way to the East Coast, it would land in DC, not in New York. And the point is that very small changes can lead to huge differences when they're multiplied over time. And our habits are the things that dictate those small changes in our life. So today, I thought we could revisit a conversation I had with James Clear in 2018, just 5 days after his book was released. So here are 6 tips he gave me on how to think about forming habits that will help you get what you want and breaking habits that might be complicating your life or holding you back. 1, habits don't have a finish line. Clear says that one of the most common questions he gets is how long does it take to build a habit? And the assumption he says that people are getting at behind that question is when can I stop doing the work? And Clear says that the honest answer on how long it takes to build a habit is forever. Because if you ever stop doing it, then it's no longer a habit. And so in this way, habits are different from goals. Clear says that goals are about winning one instance of a game, but habits are about continuing to play the game. Habits create a lifestyle that you live. They don't give you a finish line to cross. I think that's a really important point. Just because you won the race today, or you finished the big work project, or you finished writing the book, or whatever it is that you've been working on, you're still getting up and doing it tomorrow. So habits can help you achieve your goals, and they can help you get the results you want, but habits are really about process, not about outcomes. 2, this is for breaking bad habits. There are 4 steps to a habit. So you have the cue, you have craving, you have the response, and you have the reward. So maybe you love peanut M&Ms and you keep them in your pantry. So you walk in the house and you see the pantry. That's the cue. You think, I want some peanut M&Ms. That's the craving. You go get the peanut M&Ms. That's the response. You taste the chocolatey deliciousness. That's the reward. Clear says that there are 2 stages in which you have a chance of disrupting a habit. And those 2 stages are in the cue stage by reducing exposure. So in the case of M&Ms, just don't keep them in the house maybe. That way, when you look in the pantry, they aren't there, so you aren't cued. Or you can try to disrupt it in the response stage by creating more friction. So maybe you give your peanut M&Ms to a partner or to a friend and you say, hey, if I ask for these, you have to charge me $5 for 5 peanut M&Ms. Is this a little ridiculous? It is. But behavior change, as we know from the science, is really hard and we can't always count on willpower. So these are some strategies we can use if we do want to change our behavior. 3, for establishing habits that you do want, you should know about the 2-minute rule. This is what James Clear uses to describe anytime you're trying to start a new habit and you don't have time for it on a given day, you just dedicate 2 minutes to it. So you're trying to exercise more, but the day got away from you. You got called into some various meetings or calls that you weren't anticipating. Kid got sick, car broke down, whatever it is, you're not going to make it to the gym. You're not going to get your jog in. You're not going to do yoga. That's fine. But you have 2 minutes to try something. Do 2 minutes of push-ups, 2 minutes of sit-ups, 2 minutes of squats, 2 minutes of stretching. To quote Clear directly here, he says, quote, "The point is to cast a vote for your desired identity, even when circumstances aren't ideal. Sometimes it's not about the results of that given workout. It's about the fact that it reinforces who you are. Now you can look in the mirror at the end of the night and be like, things weren't perfect. I had a tough day. And yet, even though the circumstances weren't ideal, I still got a workout in. The long-term impact of that is incredibly powerful." End quote. This framework of casting a vote for your desired identity is one that I think about a lot. We like to think we have to have a certain identity to do certain behaviors. I have to feel like a runner to run, or I have to feel like somebody who is a fitness enthusiast to go to the gym. But actually, doing the behavior often changes the identity. And that's what Clear is saying here. If you want to establish a new habit, like reading, you have to believe yourself to have the identity of a reader in order to establish the reading habit, which goes against how we often think identity is formed. And the 2 minute rule allows for you to form that identity and have that habit even on days that aren't ideal. 4, Clear says to find your leverage points. So in every day, there are a few crucial points where you get nudged towards habits you want or towards habits maybe you don't want. For him, he says it's after he wakes up, takes a shower, has a glass of water, and sits down to write. He says in that moment, he either starts working or he goes to ESPN where he'll spend the next hour checking sports news. This is quoting Clear directly here. Quote, "It's really about what happens in that first 60 seconds that determines the whole next hour of my morning." Clear says if you figure out where those decisive threshold moments where you're going to get put into a habit you want or a habit you don't want, figuring those moments out will determine what kind of day you have and give you a lot more control over your day if you can identify those moments. 5, you have to check your habits and yourself every so often with an integrity report. Clear says he does his every 6 months and he asks himself, what do I say is important to me? And then 2, are the things I'm doing lining up with that? Again, to quote him directly, quote, "That's really important from a long-term standpoint because I don't know that you're going to find anybody who says, oh, I don't have integrity. Pretty much everybody thinks they have integrity. And it's not that often that there's one grave mistake that wrecks you. It's usually a bunch of just this one exception. Well, this time it's a little bit different. And then you turn around 5 or 10 years later and your habits aren't lining up with the type of person that you thought you were." End quote. I think that's a huge point because sometimes what we lack is self-awareness. And to James's point, on a day-to-day basis, we might be somebody who feels like we are living up to what we want and we're just making a few exceptions. I'll just do this here. I'll skip my workout this one time. But it's those micro decisions that on a macro time scale, again, compound, and then you look up and you're like, man, a lot of time has passed and I didn't get to where I wanted to be. 6, this is a bonus point and it's less about habits and more about productivity. Clear says to quit doing the pretty good things in order to allow yourself to do the great things. So if your to-do list is longer than 5 items, you've probably got too many items, and here's why. Let's say you have 15 items and they are organized roughly by priority. What's most important? What matters to you most? Well, if you're working on item 6, that's going to feel pretty good. It's the top half of your list, you know? But you're likely working on it because it's easier than something that's higher than it, but that's also more important. A task 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe. And Clear makes the point that it's these pretty good things, or even just good things, that are always going to get in the way of the great things or the projects that really move the needle. So if you keep focusing on the pretty good things, you're never going to get to the great things. You can just stay in that pretty good stage for a long, long time. Cull your to-do list and make sure that you are really working on the things that are top and highest priority. That is a wrap for today. If you want to check out more from James Clear, obviously his book is amazing, Atomic Habits. If you want an abridged version and to get more of what you just heard here, you can check out my interview with him on GQ.com. Big thank you to him. Obviously, I didn't talk to him directly for Farewell, but I really enjoyed getting to talk to him in my role at GQ, and his work has helped me and so many others immensely, and hopefully it helped you today too. We will be back on Thursday with another episode. Thank you for listening, and as always, Farewell.